Well, the reading was John chapter 10, and that is largely, not exclusively, but largely about Jesus being the shepherd. And this is a very common picture in Scripture. How about this? He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arm and carries them close to his heart, or what he done in his bosom in the Authorized Version. He gently leads those that have young. And that would be Isaiah 40 and verse 11. These verses from Peter. These are just samples of what we might look at. 1 Peter chapter 2, we get this. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Or again, that same letter Peter can write, and he can say this. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And so on and so on. You can look up shepherd yourself in any concordance and you will find verse after verse. Now then, if I said to you the most well-known verse on this subject in the Bible, probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, what's my text tonight? Any guess? Sorry? Genesis? 23rd Psalm, so it is, it's the 23rd Psalm, and it's the first verse. You don't even need to look it up, because you know it like the back of your hand, don't you? Don't know why I'm turning it up, really. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want to speak on. The Lord is my shepherd. But let me read the whole Psalm, because it's so precious, and if you get nothing out of me, you can get something out of this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. It's rather good actually reading in another version. Sometimes it's just a little change and brings home. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside quiet, remember, still waters. He restores or restoreth my soul. He guides me or he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, or remember goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing to do with it, but I'll just tell you a little story. It's a true story. I mean, it happened to me. For several years, for some time, a man used to attend where I was preaching, and he had been away from God for some time, and he was helped, I think I could say that. But then our ways parted for various reasons. But then, some years later, he was dying. Cancer, and I used to visit him, and more than visit him, really. And I knew what he wanted at his funeral, but he came to die. Fred Mazes came to die, but unfortunately, he must not have told his wife, or something went wrong, as it often does at funerals. I've noticed that funerals are often strange things compared to what people want, but something else was completely arranged, completely different. But they did ask me if I would read the scriptures, and I was felt privileged to do so. But I knew precisely that it was not what Fred Mazes wanted. I believe he wanted Psalm 46 preached. But anyway, they asked me to read Psalm 23. And so I prayed about it and did my best, because I felt the reading even of the Word of God could be a blessing. And there was in the congregation a Jew who had been helped. His family had been helped by this Mazes family in the war, escaping from Germany, refugees. And I didn't know this man, but afterwards apparently he commented to the family how much the reading of Psalm 23 had spoken to him. So I was pleased about that. Psalm 23, just reading it through, the Lord is my shepherd. I wonder now where that man is. I wonder if it's done some good to him. You never can tell, can you? That's all I want to speak on. The Lord is my shepherd. Very difficult, you know, for people like me. Very difficult preaching on text that everybody knows. I can say nothing new, can I? What can I say that will interest you? New. I can't say anything new. And that's the glory of it. There is nothing new. I used to go book hunting with a young man. We were looking on the old shelves there. And a new commentary on Colossians or Philippians. He said, I'm not interested in new ones. But there's something in what he said. There's nothing new in this story. Tell me the old, old story. The Lord is my shepherd. Now I say, you can't make much sense of the Bible unless you put yourself back into the society, the kind of times these people lived in. And it was very much tied to the land, wasn't it? To sheep, to goats, to farming, the seasons. We're losing all that. I mean, quite a lot of children don't know that milk comes from cows. They think it comes out of bottles in Tesco. That's why they really do think that, you know. They think chips come out of a bag. You know, they come out of potatoes. They've got no idea where potatoes come from. But this, if you read your Bible, you've got to understand the farming illustrations. And of course, this shepherd business is riddled right through. It's right through the scriptures, all over the place. But there's one big difference between the shepherding here and the shepherding in our times. Now, I'm no shepherd, so I'll get this wrong. But what I've observed, and I've watched them, it seems to me that in this country, the shepherds are behind the sheep. They are driving the sheep. And they have dogs to help them keep them in order and control. I watch them in the dip peaks quite often. So have you, of course. And you've seen it on the telly. And this is how it's done. The man stands and whistles and the sheep run about and the dogs and all the rest of it. But I've also seen it, and some of you will have as well, in other lands, it's quite different. The shepherd is just walking across the sand and this group of sheep are toddling on behind him. He leadeth them, you see. It's quite a different picture. They follow. Now, of course, we know that. Well, that's fair enough. Then we understand the picture. But if you're an English shepherd or Welsh shepherds, then you've got quite a different picture altogether. That's got some skill in it. I'm not saying it, but it's a different technique. There's another difference, too. And I've seen it myself. The sheep and the goats are all mixed up. Where I've seen it in Africa, it's all mixed up. The shepherd's toddling along, and there's a mixed group of sheep and goats. I can already tell the difference, but there is a big difference, and there they go, the sheep and the goats all wandering on together. And of course, that's another big picture in the Bible, isn't it? Sheep and goats. The herd, the flock, will be divided at the end. Remember the story, you know, all the pictures. So what I'm saying tonight is this. This is a sheep speaking. Of course, you can't do that, can you? But we'll let it happen, because we know what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the sheep that's having a talk here, saying. He might be talking to himself. I talk to myself all the time. Do you do it? Yes. This man, the sheep, is talking. David is talking. And he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. But I'm sure that he's speaking in terms of a sheep. And that is the first point I make. I never try to go through a sermon. I always try to avoid it, going through a sermon, assuming everybody is a believer. I am a firm believer that the preacher should always divide his congregation. Not in any nasty sense, but let people know they're either believers or unbelievers. Again, another little story. I'm sorry for these. They just come into my mind. But it's a pleasant one for me. I don't know if any of you found the same as me, but as a parent, I've learned a lot from my children when they become mature. They tell me things I never knew. And apparently, when I used to preach, of course, I didn't know. I had three children, and two of them at one stage, well, they were all unconverted at one stage. But I would say things like this, apparently, but my daughter tells me, she used to say, this only applies to you if you're a believer. And she said, and I knew I was not a believer. See, you don't know what seed you're dropping into people's hearts, and that germinated. But I was glad to say that she is a believer now, and has been so for many years. So I'll just say this, this is a sheep speaking. This is not one of the goats. So I take it that I'm speaking to people who can say, yes, I want to be one of the sheep of Jesus. I really want to be those who can say, the Lord is, as a sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm sure I don't need to labour that point. I don't want to be a goat, Lord. I don't want to look alike. I don't want to be in the herd. I don't want to be the tares. I want to be the wheat. I don't want to be the goat. I want to be the sheep. Now, I'm just going to talk for a few minutes, all right? That's all I'm going to do. You can preach this sermon, if you've got to call it preaching, you can preach it yourself. All you've got to do, is what I'm going to do anyway, it won't be a great sermon, but it might be just a little help to you. Might be to me too. I'm just going to take the words. Just underline them. How about this one? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's emphasize the word shepherd, shall we? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what do shepherds do for sheep? What is David talking about? The Lord guides me, keeps me, feeds me. Again, you've got to get back to the Middle East. You've got to get back to the dry, hot, desert lands. Here's the shepherd off in the morning walking, and the sheep are following him. They must trust him implicitly. Because if he goes wrong, what's going to happen? They aren't going to find any water that day, and they aren't going to find any grass that day. Does that matter? Well, it certainly does. Death is on the road. But they follow him, because the shepherd knows where the grass and where the water is. Have you ever thought about Israel passing through the desert in the wilderness? That was a staggering experience. They set off when the cloud and everything else moved, they went. If God had not taken them to some water or to some forage, their animals would have died. They would have died. David is saying, looking to God, I think as a believer I can say, looking to Christ, he is my shepherd. I do not know what tomorrow will bring. But I know he knows. I don't know what circumstances are going to come. You've all had the experience. You get up in the morning and by the end of the day, your life, something has happened that has shaken it. Some of you may say, I can say it, it's been changed forever. It's never the same again. It can't be the same. It can't be put back. There's nothing you can do. The circumstances have so dramatically changed. They can't be put back. But David is saying, this shepherd leads me, feeds me. He speaks about protection, doesn't he? You know, the lion and the bear. David has done it. And he's saying to God, I would say to Christ, lions and bears are coming after me. I don't know who they are or where they are, but they're coming. But I know that you will protect me. Shepherd. Sometimes when I'm walking in the peaks, quite often I come across a sheep that sort of has to hobble. They can't get out of my way. And I think, oh, poor thing, he's obviously stepped on a stone or something or got something in his foot and whatever it might be. And I care, but the shepherd cares for it. As soon as he sees it, what will he do? He won't pass it by. Is my Jesus like that to me? Will he care for me when he sees me wounded and sore and afflicted and tried? Is he the shepherd? I'm no countryman, but I do hear a lot of drivel talked by town people about farmers. They think farmers are dreadfully cruel people, you know, are always whacking their sheep and cows all over the place and couldn't care less. Well, there may be one or two farmers like that, but they'd be as poor as church mice before they're much older. The farmer who's got any sense will care for his animals with all the care he can bestow upon them because they are his livelihood. If nothing else, he may not be sentimental about them, but he knows how to care for them. Can't we multiply that picture a little bit and say that my Jesus will care for me and for you? Can't you say it for yourself? I don't know what circumstances you're going through tonight. I didn't come with any preconceived idea. I have no idea what I have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I've said so. I don't know for myself, let alone you. But won't this might be a blessing tomorrow. It might be a blessing tonight, mightn't it? Shepherd. I know you're my master. I know you're my king. I know you're my saviour. That's all true, but you're also my shepherd. And what about John 10? A remarkable passage. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know, I don't think I really spotted that until I was praying just now. What shepherd would actually lay down his life for a sheep? Amazing thought, isn't it? But my Jesus is my shepherd who lays down his life for me. And he has done so. What more can he say? What more can he do? If he's laid down his life for me, surely he will be the best of all shepherds for me now. Don't you think I need assurance sometimes? Reassurance? Do you need it? No. Well, I do. Do you lack confidence sometimes? Are you afraid? I know what it is to be afraid. Isn't it wonderful to have a shepherd to whom we can run? Souls of men, why will ye scatter? Let's run to our Jesus. He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd and he owns his sheep. He loves his sheep. Do I need to read Psalm 23? He'll make me lie down here. He'll be with me in every circumstance. This is what David is saying to his Lord. You cannot say it to my Christ. Jesus, I know you are my shepherd. Jesus, like a shepherd, lead us. Let's go to the other end of the text. How about the Lord? Now, that's a pretty good shepherd, isn't it? A wealthy man might be a good shepherd. A very clever shepherd might be a good shepherd. A very big landowner might be a very good shepherd. An old shepherd might be a good shepherd. But how about the Lord being my shepherd? What do you mean? Well, I was just looking at the sun before I got up here. Remarkable, isn't it? Who put that in its place? Who's in control of that? The Lord. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating anyway. I heard a program on the radio, and there were three scientists. It's one of that Mr. Bragg's programs. And they were talking, these three scientists, all unbelievers, but they were talking about, I don't know, some stars and stuff, you know. And they were talking like this, you know. It's remarkable, you know, they said. Where we are situated, the planet Earth, in relation to the sun, if we were a little closer to the sun, we should fry. I mean, you realize, don't you, why it's warmer today because it's April than it was in February? There's nothing changed except we're just a bit nearer the sun, that's all. That's the only difference. The sun's exactly the same place as it was then, but we're just a little closer. And in the winter, we should just be a little bit further away. But that makes us freeze in the winter and feel very warm in the summer. But it's only a shade, it's only a little distance, really, a few million miles. But it's only a little distance in relative terms. But the fact is, if we were much closer to the sun, we should fry. And if we were just a little further away, we should be icebergs. Well, that is remarkable, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? What a fluke. That's what they were saying. Tremendous fluke. Well, sure it is. It's a bigger fluke than I can credit. I think the Lord did that, don't you? I'll tell you another thing. Apparently we've got just the right mixture of all these gases, oxygen, you'd know more about this than me, Andrew. All these gases, oxygen and nitrogen, all these little bits of stuff, I mean, amazing stuff, we don't know, but it's all there somehow. Quite a fluke. I wonder how that got there. The Lord. And he's my shepherd. Have you ever thought this? We spin round, don't we? But it's a good job we do, because the sun's going down. No, the sun ain't going down, we're going round. Let it get dark and we'll go to bed. That's nice. Then tomorrow it'll be sunny again. So it's us going round. But if it didn't go round, it would be permanent sun. Would you like that? Or permanent night? Would you like that? I wouldn't. Isn't it wonderful? It's a marvelous fluke. Oh, it's just remarkable, isn't it? The Lord did that. And he's my shepherd. So, is there going to be something tomorrow a bit too big for him? You know, a bit too much to grapple with. Well, there will be for me. I'm sure that I'll wake up tomorrow and something might happen in the day. I've got no idea what it might be. Something will come across my path and I'll think, well, what can I do about that? But he's never stumped. Is it too strong for him? Too big for him? Too clever for him? I've got a very big enemy. He's called Satan. But he's not big enough for Christ. Because he's the Lord. And I know he's the Lord because it says that he created all things. And he's my shepherd. Some of our dear friends went out this morning, and if they went out without Christ, or if anybody here is without Christ, then you're your own shepherd. I pity you. I really do. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord for a shepherd. It's a very wonderful thought, isn't it? If God be for us, a lot could be against us, but they can't really, can they? Was it Ryland's hymn? Not a shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Bang. My times are in his hand. The Lord, the Creator, the faithful God too. I might one day speak upon that text in Genesis 9. Heaven, you know, seasons of the summer and winter and so on. Do you know, it's a very wonderful thing. It's a very wonderful thing, you know. We take it for granted. Well, of course, the sun's come back. And but who says it's got to come back? Somebody did say it come back, and that's why it comes back. I know I've mentioned this to you before. I'm amazed that these chaps can work out the tides at Lowestoft. I really am. But I'm more amazed that the tides keep to that split second. It's good that they can work it out. I have a clue how they do it. I'm very, very clever men. But it's even cleverer, isn't it, to make it work. Because that tide comes in at Lowestoft and everywhere else just as a spot on the time that God set. And that God is my shepherd. And yours. Are you facing some big circumstance? Some difficulty? No. Well, I've given you this before. I remind you of Stephen Short's sermon when I got married first. I heard him say, don't put this too far away. You never know when you might need it. Now you don't know, my friend, nor do I. The Lord. The Lord. God himself. God. I don't care what Jehovah's Witnesses say. God. Did you notice it in our John 10? Do you notice the reading? I didn't stop. I mustn't stop, must I? But I did. I could have stopped and said, did you notice how the Jews wanted to stone Christ? Why? Because they said, you're making yourself out to be God. I've only got one quarrel with that, making. He wasn't making himself out. He was God. I mean, he is God. They got it, though. The Jehovah's Witnesses are too blind to see it. Well, let them be blind. But I could see it, so could the Jews. He is God. And he's my shepherd. Now, that's a pretty good shepherd. I don't think you can beat that, can you? And how about the word is? Well, you can't say much on that. Oh, yes, you can. Not that I'm going to say a lot, but you can say a fair bit on it. You see, there are some people who talk like this. The Lord was my shepherd. Now, what do they mean? Well, they're always talking about the past. What God did to them. And how they had this experience. Well, that's very good. And some people are talking about the future. And that's excellent too. Because the Lord will be my shepherd. But the best of all, he is. He is. Now you say, I don't know. I'd love to think that he'd be my shepherd on my deathbed. Don't worry, that'll be an is too. That is his coming. But you've got the is now. And this is the wonderful thing, my friend. Whatever the circumstances, you may not have any of these circumstances at the moment, but some of you may, but we all will get them pretty quick. And we've got to say the Lord is. Not will be, not was, is. Now, in this circumstance, when all around my soul gives way. I used to sing that when I was a young man. Oh, I thought, good hearty tune. Oh, the Lord, when all around my soul gives way. Yeah, but it does, my friend. It does give way. It does. When all around my soul gives way, he then is. It. I like it. Is. Will be? Yes. I know you will never forsake me. I know you have been. But I know above all, you are now at the moment. In this experience. Well, there's only one word left, my friend, is the word my. And in a way, it's the best of all. Well, I don't know, all four of them, or five or six, whatever. They're all the best, aren't they? But my shepherd. You see, some people talk like this. You know, my mum, oh, she was such a spiritual woman. The Lord was her shepherd, I. Oh, I know. Oh, yes. She's such a godly woman. That's good. I'm glad your mother had it. I'm glad. Your father, too. Yes, he was a godly man. Oh, the Lord was there. If any man knew the Lord was a shepherd, he did. Oh, that's great. My friend, I'm not very much for this self-centered generation in which we live. It's all about self, isn't it? And I really think there's a bit too much of it. And I think it's bad. But on this one issue, I think, really, let's all be a bit self-centered. What do you mean? My
Now, I know I spoke on that before. Mine. But, my friend, I can't get off it, can I? It must be mine. I can only be content when I know the Lord is my shepherd.
I meet people. There was one lady here this morning. I mean, she's spoken to me before. She just can't seem to say that it's hers, you know. And I feel sorry for these people. I don't want anybody to be what we call presumptuous and jump ahead and say, oh, that's all mine, you know, not thinking about it. I'd rather have a dose of doubt than a ton of presumption. I really would. I'm on that side, don't worry. I'm on that side. But really, I would like us all to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not bragging, my friend, because the Lord made you his shepherd. So the Lord made himself your sheep. He made you a sheep. You got it. You believe because you are my sheep. See, that's the point. He says in John 10. You believe because I've chosen you. So I'm not trying to make you bragging and boasting. Oh, yes, the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying, blessed be God, I can say the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going home alone then. I'm not facing it alone. Of course you're not. I will never leave you. Nor forsake you. Lloyd Jones had a habit of making this offer and invitation to the congregation. He would always meet any man or woman after the meeting. After any service, any preaching service, he would go into his room and a deacon would be outside and you could go and wait. And in your turn, you could go and ask him any question and make any consultation with him about spiritual things. And he's recorded several of these conversations. They're very helpful, I've found. What I liked about the man was he always gave his opinion. The sort of helper I don't like is the man who says, well, that's a very difficult question. I don't like him because I know it's a difficult question. That's why I'm asking it. I want a man who says it is a difficult question, but this is my suggestion. And Lloyd-Jones would always offer his opinion. He had a lady once, a headmistress, who came to him, a believing lady, and she said how frightened she was. She was a headmistress of the school, but she was frightened every morning because she had to go in and take the assembly. Now, of course, that wouldn't disturb you, would it? Stand up between four or 500 boys and girls. Well, I've stood up a few of them. I can tell you, some of them are strapping great lads, too. And you've got to quell them. You've got to get them quiet and just listening to the headmaster. I don't know how you're going to do it. You just stand up. I can understand her fear. So I said, Lloyd Jones said, well, what do you do about it? She said, well, I keep saying to myself, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. But it don't seem to work, he said. Now, I spoil the story because I cannot remember how he emphasized it. But in a way, I'm glad I can't remember. I didn't look it up. I don't remember because I'm going to do it differently to him. I think he said, don't say the Lord is my shepherd, say the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I'll go against Lloyd-Jones for once. I suggest, my friend, that you learn to say all of them. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is. The Lord is mine. Now, if ever a man should say, physician, heal thyself, it's me. Because I need this more than you. Physician, heal thyself. I'm going to close the Bible now. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd. But I want that to be translated out of that page into here. I want it in here. I want to think like it. I want it in here. I want to talk like it. I want it in there. I want my heart to beat like it. Do you know what I mean? I want it down right here. But I don't want to feel this anxiety. I want to feel the Lord is my shepherd. He is my Savior. He is my King. But he's my shepherd. That's the simplest little talk you've ever heard, but may it do you and may it do me some good. Eh? Well, should we sing our last hymn?